new life. Good to see everybody today. Amen. Good to be with you, especially in the spirit of what the Lord's doing. And he's so into you, and I can't thank him enough for letting me be a part of what he's passionate about in his people. He's passionate about you. Amen. I want to give you a quick announcement. We had a parents meeting last Thursday night, and we're going to have another one before we actually kick this thing off on the 28th of this month. So put that on your calendar, March the 28th. If you're a parent and you're ready to take back what belongs to God, which is his heritage, amen, the children, amen, the millennials. What's the next group? What's the next? Millennials and then who? Somebody said the rejects. My goodness. Generation X. Generation X. Let's go get them. Amen. Because you are the key. Parents, youth pastors, parents. It's the same thing. You're the key. And if they're ever going to be who God designed them to be, God chose you to be the vehicle by which he brings them into identity. Amen. As much as you would like someone else to do it because you're living in a world that's kind of like dog eat dog and got to work two or three jobs to keep up with the culture. Amen. No, God chose you and he'll take care of all this other stuff we've been working ourselves to the bone doing if we'll focus on what he's focused on. So Thursday, week from today on the 28th, amen, let's meet here because we're going to move forward. I don't know how it's going to look. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish I knew. We're walking by faith. But we're going after the kids. Amen? And we can do this together. And a miracle is going to happen. Wish I could tell you how, but Daddy is going to give us a testimony on how we can take our kids back. Amen? And I'm so thankful he's trusting us, amen, to do something he's passionate about through. We have a religious stigma that's in the culture of the church world. And it has to do with people thinking that I'm not good enough for the presence of God, but if I work hard enough, I can. His presence will be with me. If I just do something good, God will show up and I can have his presence. But there's no truth to that, amen, at all. The presence of God is with us regardless if we're good or bad. As David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there, Lord. No matter what stupid I do, the presence of God is with me. He's with us. He'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. And we make mistakes all the time, don't we? But we want to neutralize this religious stigma that says that I must be good to earn the presence of God. Now, the beautiful thing about the presence of God is that he's with us regardless if we host him or not. The question is, are we going to host his presence? He's looking for a host. Isn't it interesting, amen, in our world of Hollywood that they have horror films and the demons look for a host, that the devil wants a host? Oh, Pastor Lowe, there ain't nothing real about that. That's all make-believe. Okay. The next time you get in an argument, that's make-believe. The next time you get slapped, that was just make-believe. There wasn't nothing to it. There wasn't no bad spirit behind that. Anybody tracking with me? Next time you catch yourself lying, that's just make-believe. This is good for us. God is looking for a host. That's why his presence is with us, and he's waiting on us. He's there. All we have to do is decide to activate. Amen. The moment we activate, that becomes attractive to people around us, and we start tending to what's in front of us. And our children happen to be in front of us. They're looking for a manifestation of God in mom and dad. I'm going to say that one more time. Your children is looking for a manifestation of Jesus Christ, the righteous, amen, in you as a parent. They're looking. And they're hoping mom and dad will show them the kingdom of God. But we're in a culture right now in our world, amen, that's anti the kingdom of God culture. I'm not picking on our world. God's in love with our world. Matter of fact, his inheritance, this is God's inheritance, is the heathen. Come on, it's in your book called the Bible. That he's been given the inheritance of the heathen. So whether you're a sinner or saint, you're his inheritance. So all of a sudden, as a saint, because of his blood, I see the sinner differently now. That belongs to God. They belong to God. Now, what am I going to do about it? And that's why we're coming to this subject today on true spiritual warfare, fighting with honor. Fighting with honor. That word honor is a tough word to deal with because we've been designed to be God's host, his platform by which, amen, he can show what he loves, honor, and he loves people. But he has to have a host to show them his honor. And he's chosen you to be his host to manifest his honor. And that means you may have to turn the other cheek so that they can see, amen, the honor of the Lord. Praise God. Oh me, oh my. I can tell everybody's waiting. Okay, how are we going to compute this today? Well, let's have fun. Let's dive right on into it in Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is what? Supreme. It's the primary thing. Therefore, get it, though it costs you everything you have. Get understanding. And so wisdom is the evidence that one is hosting the presence of God. You cannot put wisdom on display any other way. That's the evidence that you're hosting God's presence. And everyone has the potential of wisdom working in their life because humanity is attractive to the presence of God. But only a few choose to let his presence flow from them. So we're talking about the importance of honor, fighting with honor. Proverbs 10 and 1 says it this way. Let's look at honor. The proverb of Solomon, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son brings grief to his mother. You know, walking with Jesus is about how we treat others. Everybody agree with that? When you say, I walk with me and Jesus, we don't have our own thing going because it's not possible. When you meet me and Jesus walk together, it's about always about how I treat others and how I touch their lives. And so fighting the good fight of faith includes how we honor the people of God, amen, or the people that God has put in our life, whether they're obedient or not, all right? And by the way, serving as a leader, I'm challenged with that all the time because the temptation to measure things from my personal lens is always before me. Just like you, therefore I can encourage you. I understand the temptation to measure things from a good and evil lens. We measure in the spirit from a God lens. And so the fool always does this one thing. This is what the fool does to his relationships. He despises them. Now, first thing you're going to say, well, I don't despise none of my relationships. I may not like them. I may want to knock them out, but I don't despise them. Well, let's consider this word despise and see what it actually means. Amen. To be in contempt of. To be in contempt of. To point out a flaw. The moment you point the flaw out in someone's life, if it's not handled in the right spirit of confrontation, that is despising them. The only reason we point out the flaw in one another's life is because we have a level of foolish despise in us. Then it goes on to say, to scorn, to disdain, to consider worthless or unworthy of honor. Have you ever thought that anybody in your life in front of you didn't deserve honor at the moment? They deserved something else, and you was ready to give it to them. He uses, this fool uses others in his life for selfish motives. Have you ever thought of anyone, say, I'm going to see what I can get out of them for selfish gain? You ever thought like that before? That's what a fool does. You will not take advantage of anybody ever when you honor them. Is this okay? Amen. I can tell right now everybody's really listening to this thought because it's easy as we talk about what we're going to talk about today to to look back and look at the areas of our life where we have mishandled people because we had the wrong attitude or motive. The one relational principle that will change one's life is honor. Isn't it right that when you stand before a judge, whether you agree with the judge or not, you call him your honor? You honor not the person necessarily, but the seat that the person sits in. Amen? You can disagree with them, but you must honor that seat. And so we're at a place right now where we're finding out that humanity is God's inheritance and that they've been given a seat by God, whether they're a good person or a bad person, that, amen, he's expecting from anyone who believes to give honor to. It's important. But you don't understand, Pastor. They did this and they done that and they're guilty of this and they're in jail for that and they deserve everything that's coming to them. Anybody ever thought like that? Amen. The silence is awesome today. So what is honor directed at then? Let's talk about what is honor directed at. In Proverbs 31:31, honor her for all that her hands have done and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Find value in your relationships and honor them. Find value in your relationships and honor them. If you cannot find any value in a relationship that's in front of you, ask the Lord what it is that you're missing and give him an opportunity to point out what you're missing. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, that we brag on those who are in our lives. Build them up. Give honor to them, regardless of whether or not you agree or not on whatever the topic may be. So why is this so important? A culture, we've been talking about how the culture is eating the kingdom of God culture, and we've been fellowshipping with and relationship with other ministries that's talking the same talk. And around here, we're talking about a culture of honor. It's the kind of culture that is life-giving. Amen. The culture of our world is toxic, and it has little, if any, honor at all to give when you look at it from the right perspective. The arrogance of dishonor has saturated the political climate in our world. It's in our media. It's even in the church world. Dishonor. And so, what does it mean to honor? Honor simply means value, worth, weight. Add weight to the relationships that you have by honoring them. Amen? It's called worship. Well, Pastor, I don't want to worship them. They need a good spanking. No, it's called worship Jesus. Jesus, he has them in front of you to take care of on his behalf. And he didn't say take care of them without him. To do what we're talking about today, you must be activated in spirit. You cannot do what God is asking of you today without him. It's not possible, but with him, you can do all things. Amen? And so if you can come to that resolve as I move into the rest of this message this morning, you're going to relax and realize, okay, I can't do this, but he can help me. And I can go with him on this journey of his empowerment, and I can see him at work, and I can enjoy the journey because he's with me. Amen? You're not going to do this without God. Ain't nobody in here powerful enough to honor correctly without God. Is that okay? So I'm not asking you to do anything today because it's right without God. It's right because it is God, and you can host him today. Host him. I can't say that enough to you. Host the presence of God, and everybody in front of you will be honored by God. Amen. Dishonor simply means to take lightly, not putting the value on the relationship that it deserves. So, are there people in your life right now that you actually feel like they do not deserve any honor? Amen. And so this is where true spiritual warfare ties into our identity and our responsibility to God. Amen? And so when you're saying, I rebuke the devil. I cast him out. You're not talking to the person. You're talking to a spirit. Amen? So emphatically, when you get the amen, Lord, I'm all on board. Yes, Lord, I'm with you. You can count on me. Amen. I'm going to host your presence. Then you can say to the devil, get out of my way. But if you're living in a spiritual attitude of disobedience, you can say to the devil all day long, get out of my way. He don't have to leave. You've given him an open door to come in and take over your life. When our obedience is fulfilled, we have now engaged in hosting God so that the enemy is our walking material. Amen? And we don't give that dude any place. We only give God place at this point. This is so important for us to catch today as we fight, amen, for or fight with honor. Amen. So when should honor begin towards others in my life? Honor never begins based on how someone treats me or you. That's not when honor begins. The first principle of honor is this. Number one, honor begins with God's claim on them. God has put a claim on everybody that is in front of you. And so it's not about how you see them, but rather how God sees them. God sees all of us as completely depraved. He can see us in our depravity, and at the same time, he can see us in perfect dignity. He can see us in great need of him, amen? And at the same time, he can see us being used by him for his glory. Amen? And us being the benefactor of wonderful things in the kingdom. God sees every failure in our lives, and at the same time, he sees how we can become who he says we are. Isn't it good that God can, amen, see us from the lens of where we've come from, but more importantly, who he designed us to be? And he focuses on finishing what he started. Can I join with God on the process of him finishing somebody that he started to work on, that he's put in front of me? Am I willing to go with him, amen, to the end on that journey? And that we have to ask ourselves that question because we're fighting with honor. Amen? Have people in your life let you down at times? Maybe you've let somebody down. Anybody ever let somebody down before? Early in my parenthood, Tammy will tell you that I made sure I rehearsed what my children did wrong. I made sure they understood that I knew it was wrong, and I wanted to make sure they understood it was wrong so that we could get over this and not go down that road again. But the older I got to realizing they already knew that was wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you, anybody, when you mess up and did something wrong, you knew you did it wrong? Everybody's had that got that spiritual built-in meter that says, you messed up. The moment you do it, you said something you shouldn't say, and all of a sudden, it's wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have did that. That meter's there. And the enemy's goal is to get us not to honor what God honors. And last time I checked, the children is his heritage. And as a parent, he's been giving me the opportunity to take care of and steward the heritage he gave me and my wife. And so reminding them of what they did wrong is not the goal. They need more of an identity class, a relationship with me. Amen. You know, son, you know, daughter, this isn't you, okay? And I know the enemy's got you all whacked out right now and you feel bad and you're ashamed, but let me point out, this is who you are. This is not you. This is who you are. And the goal for me parenting is to make sure you make the journey from here to here. And I want you to know you're going to win, young man. You're going to win, young lady. And as a good parent, I'm supporting the objective because I'm on this journey with God. He started something in them. Amen. And he promises he'll finish it, but he needs a host. Is this okay? Parents, he didn't set you in position that you're in this culture of this world, amen, just to provide tickets to Disney World for your kids. and Xboxes and iPhones and all the things that the kids are using, amen, they say, well, Sally's got one. I think I deserve one. And here you go. You have to work for them to try to make them happy, but it never makes them happy, right? That is not why you're a parent, to try to make your kids happy. Let me say it this way. This is a principle in the kingdom. When you're a pleaser of men or children, you're not a pleaser of God. If you find yourself beat up trying to please your children, it's because you're not pleasing God. I need to pause and let that sink in. It's not the children's fault that our generation is whacked out. It comes back to mom and dad. We bought into this idea that we could buy their happiness. And in the process, we got beat up and we stepped out of our identity to go there. Amen. And now we're trying to figure out what to do. And lots of churches, this is a commercial for Thursday a week ago, amen, of us taking our kids back. Lots of churches and ministries don't know what to do. They've created babysit programs. And by the way, we're going to have programs, but they won't be babysit programs. We're going to do wonderful things that kids can, so their gifts can shine and they can be who God designed them to be, but we're first going to take our homes back. If you can't take care of your own house, how can you serve in the house of God? We're addressing the truth here. We're going to take back, amen, what belongs to God, amen. We're going to give him a platform. We're going to host heaven so that we can take our houses back. And from there, we might can go to Disneyland and have a good time. When we leave, the kids don't want to be with Mickey Mouse more than they want to be with you. Is this okay? It's okay. Go to Six Flags just so long they don't want to be with Daffy Duck more than they want to be with you. Or on that ride more than they want to be with you. The children should... Come on, if God has his way, the heart of the seed giver, come on, the hearts of the fathers, that's including all mom and dad, come on, we're hearing the voice of God and we're rehearsing what God's saying. We're seed givers. When our hearts are turned back to the children with God, their hearts are going to be turned back, amen, to where God is. He's the seed giver. But we got to take our house back, and that happens when we begin to honor, give honor to whom honor is due. And we start with God. Is this okay? We're talking about something very important today. And God has a claim on your children. God has a claim on every person in front of you. And so honor begins with seeing people the way God sees them. The second principle of honoring others is honoring benefits me too. Honoring isn't for the people on the receiving end. It's for the people on the giving end. This is important for everybody to catch this. It has more as an effect on the giver than the one that's receiving. Anybody feel, does it feel good to receive honor? Does it feel good to be honored? Yeah. But the one that's doing the honor, something's going on inside of them that's the kingdom of God. Something's happening in them that brings them to greater understanding of who they are. The way we honor those who are in leadership roles determines how we can receive from them. Here, this is important. When Jesus went back to Jerusalem, when he went back rather to Nazareth, his hometown, he could do no mighty miracle because they didn't treat him weighty. They treated him in a light manner as not important. And he could do no mighty miracles. And only those that treated Jesus from a lens of being valid and honored him as being something that was needed in their life, those are the ones that got the miracles. They're the ones that got the blessing. This is so important for us. Honoring benefits me too. When I honor Jesus, all the kingdom comes and it manifests. And I want to encourage you, Jesus wants to blow your mind today with blessing. The third principle of honoring others is respect is earned, but honor is. Woo, that's the big one. I'm not going to wait on you to deserve the honor. I'm going to give it to you anyway. Let me be. This is your disclaimer. You ready? If you buy into this, you're going to get tested ASAP. With God, it's possible. Without Him, you ain't going to win. If you agree with God and you say, God, I'm with you on this, you're going to be tested to turn the other cheek pretty quick. And you're going to wonder, because, man, when you get jack slapped, that's a bad bone slap. You're thinking, man, that hurts, that kind of slap, and you're going to turn the other cheek. Get better be Jesus in this one. He better be with me, because I don't know that I can do this. Is anybody tracking? You can't. But with Him, you can. Amen. Honor is given. Pass the test. Give honor anyway. 1 Peter 2:13, submit yourself for the Lord's sake. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority institute among men, whether to the king or the supreme authority, to the governors who are sent by Him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those that do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant of talk of foolish men. People on Twitter. It's got to be in there somewhere. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as servants of God. How? Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of the believers. Fear God. Honor the King. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you here. The apostle wrote, he made it very clear, amen, that you pray for all kings and authorities, presidents, congressmen, senators, governors, amen. Why do we do this? That there may be peace in our homes. Honor. But you understand, Pastor, they got some whacked out ideas and they're doing stupid stuff. God brings governments up and God brings the governments down. Amen. You don't worry about it. The Lord set them up. What we're going to do is we're going to get an alliance with Daddy and we're going to let Him host in our lives so that we can honor. And the more I honor, whether they're right or wrong, I'm going to honor the position. I'm going to honor the place that they're, amen, they're put in our life for a reason. God's wanting some worship. Submit yourself. Pray for them. Pray for them. Don't pray curses on them. Pray blessings on them. Why? It's worship. And sometimes I'm just going to tell you, the temptation is in me too. God's taking too long. I need to help Him out. And the enemy will play you because you feel like God's taking too long. God's taking just the right amount of time. It's really more about me than them. It's more about my development than their development. It's more about me getting the message instead of them getting the message. I'm just going to pray for them. Obviously, I'm missing something here. I still want to do something about this, so my attitude needs adjusting, and so I just submit more to God being the host in my life as I host Him. Praise God. This is good for us. Amen. And so honor is lacking in our culture, in our family. So let's go get the honor back. Let's bring it back to our homes. If we bring it back to our homes, it'll get in our communities. If it gets in our communities, it'll get in our counties and states. Amen. It'll get in our country. It'll get in our world. But we got to start somewhere. It starts where families exist. Amen. As a unit. Honor one another. Romans 12:10 said, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Does that say that in the Bible? It's pretty powerful. Be devoted. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor in the way that you place the weight and the value on others above yourself. What's going on when I do that? I'm worshiping Him. I'm saying, okay, now I get it, Lord. These people, this is your treasure. These people, that's what you've invested in. You gave all your blood for them, and you put them in front of me, amen, to put you on display. I get it. I'm getting it. It's not that they're doing something wrong. And the only reason I see what they're doing wrong is because the devil keeps screaming out what they're doing wrong. God ain't said nothing about what they're doing wrong. He's wanting me to start repeating what he sees right about them and start calling their identity out of them and making them begin to realize, you know what? Dwayne keeps thinking I'm special. He keeps talking about, amen, this and that. And I know I'm having these dreams come to me. I keep confirming, amen, what they're seeing in dreams and what other people are saying about them. And if they get enough confirmation and validation, enough people saying it, the enemy that's made them believe a lie loses place in their life. God is able to take his seat in their heart. They'll become exactly who Jesus says they are. But he's looking for someone that he can honor them through. And I have to tell you, there's been times in my life, and I hate to look back at it, but I've looked at people, amen, from a right and wrong stance. And because things weren't just right, I talked about that instead of what God was saying. Anybody ever done that? You ain't got to raise your hand, but you're not giving honor when you speak about what's wrong in them. Amen. And so, here's three ways that you can place weight and value on others above yourself. Anybody want to know how to do this? Man, I need to know, because right now I got some people in front of me and something needs to happen, Lord. And it ain't been happening. And the Lord's saying, yeah, you're about to happen. And when you happen, they'll happen. When you activate, they'll activate. And so you honor them, number one, by prioritizing them. What is first is honored. I know you've done it. I've done it. Going to the buffet table. And an elderly person gets there the same time you get there. And I'm 20 years old. I got appetite. I could eat that pew over there right now. I'm so hungry. But you say to the elderly person, go ahead. You prioritize, come on. What's first is blessed, right? And so you know that when they get up there, they're going to pick one pea at a time, put on the plate. And they're going to look at it, and they're going to imagine, is that going to make it through me, or am I going to have to take, you know, some Metamucil or something? Anybody tracking with me? And I mean, you're thinking, man, they're going to take the last pork chop too. Come on now. You see what I'm talking about? Honor first. I've been at least 20 feet ahead of a lady coming to the door before, and first thing in my mind was, I can get through the door, door's shut, and I'll be okay. I don't feel that when I get there. You open the door and you wait, right? Because it's right. It's how you honor. And I've waited on them to come, and then some more come, and we just wait. Honor. I've had them get on to me. See, you got to hold the door for me. I can open the door on my own. I'm going like, really? And I'm thinking, you don't know my daddy. He'll roll over in his grave. And if I die and go where he's at, he'll whoop me when I get there. And so I'm telling him, I said, I cannot stop holding this door. You might as well go through, because I'm standing right here. I've done that before. Honor. Whether you know it or not, even they're impacted by this. If you'll stand with honor and you'll make, amen, a priority to be one that demonstrates honor, God is getting worship. Prioritize. Prioritize the way we honor our God. In Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Proverbs 3:9 in the Message says, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. This is not a money principle, ladies and gentlemen. This is an everything principle. He wants your heart. He wants your time. He wants your talent. He wants your treasure. He wants your toys. He wants to be number one, and he deserves the honor. Amen? Don't let CPS get more honor than Jesus. Don't let American Express get more honor than Jesus. Honor the Lord. That's why we celebrate every Sunday the fact that he's number one. Then you honor people every time you do one. Number two, you praise them. Honor has a language. What are you using your mouth for? What is the primary objective of God giving you a mouth with a tongue? The most unruly member in your body is your tongue. You'll say things that is messed up all the time, and you're thinking it's okay. We praise others not just in front of them. We praise others when they walk away from us. That's the best kind of worship you can give your Father, is to honor them when they're not just standing in front of you. You honor them when they walk away from you. Instead of saying, "My God, did you see that hairdo? Can you believe what they wore? Man, can't they match colors? My God." Oh, it's hitting home with some of us, huh? You see how the enemy tricks us and pulls honor out, dishonor out of us? Amen? That when you're away from anyone, be cautious of what you say about them. You may be telling the truth about them, but if it's not bringing honor, there's no worship in that. You and I have been commissioned by God, blood bought. We're purchased to do what? To demonstrate honor, amen, to what he loves. Have I made mistakes in the past? I had to raise my hand. Have I said things I shouldn't have said? But if we could sit down and have a weeping session together. But over time, Daddy has kept working on me because there have people been praying for me, people in my life that I was in front of, amen, that they stewarded God right and honored me, amen, and kept speaking identity out of me, amen, until I started agreeing with the truth that made me free. And so can you. You can, everyone in front of you, you can fight with honor. You can help, amen, and serve God's agenda for people that he's placed in front of you, amen, so that he's able to finish what he started. James 3:9 says this: with a tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with we curse men, and have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. God takes it personal, does it, when we say something negative about anyone, regardless if we perceive it to be true or not. Anybody ever had to deal with getting on the road and on the road? I'm just going to tell you, it's challenging to get on the road because not everybody drives right. Now, I drive perfect. But not everybody drives right. Now, you would think, well, I didn't see any, but I thought it. That dummy, what they think they're doing? I didn't say it. You probably wouldn't have picked it up that I even thought it. But I've had those thoughts before. And the Lord reminded me while I'm thinking it, said, "That's my dummy. That's my dummy that you've been praying for in the community I sent you to. I'm in love with that dummy." Are you? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And some of us get tried immediately, right after church, on the road that we're driving. Right? And we're having a hard time praising the people that's cutting us off and calling us number one and all that stuff. And we're wondering, what did I just do? And you're trying to figure out, I must have did something. Come on now. This is good for us. You're going to be tested with this principle ASAP if you buy into it. And remember this, without God, you cannot do this. People give us reasons every day not to honor them. The question is, you're going to buy into the reason. Jesus had plenty of reasons not to honor me, but he didn't buy into any of them. He went all the way, and he honored me when he died for me. Ephesians 4:29 says that don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Pastor, now you said you thought it. Well, yeah, as a man or woman thinks in their heart, so are they. Amen? It's not the act. Amen? If you can think it, amen, and eventually, because it's been seated in the mind, it'll get to the heart if you don't protect it. Amen? That's why we stay in a mode of praying without ceasing. Daddy, I need help right now. I mean, you got some people in front of me. I need some help. And my help comes from you. So where are you at right now in this situation? And he wants us to get real with him and fight with honor. Every time I get it wrong, it grieves the Spirit. This is good for us today. We're talking about true spiritual warfare. When I miss the mark, it's not that he's mad at me. It just grieves his Spirit. I missed the mark. I chose to do it out of my own power instead of his. Has anybody ever been tempted to do that before? I mean, I got a Bible study to back up that this should work, but it didn't work. And it grieved the Spirit in the process because I was doing a right thing in a wrong attitude. And I've done that, ladies and gentlemen. I can preach this message a lot more than today. Honor prioritizes, honor praises every living soul. The third thing honor does for others, and this is one I'm closing on here. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. It's not going to be too long. I'm getting out of here so I can honor somebody. The third thing, we prioritize, we praise, and we protect them. We prioritize, we praise, and we protect. Anything that you value, you will protect it. Anything you put value on, you will protect it. The sons of Noah, it's important. Noah got out of order one day. He got tipsy, and in his drunken stupor, he got out of balance. Amen. He got indecent. He's in his tent, and one of his sons comes in and mocks him and laughs at him. And he's out cold. Comes out of the tent telling his brothers, just making a mockery of and laughing about daddy's weakness. And conviction came upon those two brothers. And they didn't say nothing. They kept their mouth shut. They went and got a covering. And they backed into the tent together and covered up their father's weakness. Amen. They didn't hide his sin, but they did protect their father. They honored their father by covering his weakness. Let me just tell you something. It's time for people in front of you to feel like they can be safe with you. It's time that the people that God has put in front of you feel like you're protecting them. They need to feel like they're safe when they're in your presence. And if they can feel like, come on, that feeling is evidence that the presence of God is with you. The reason people can feel safe with me is because the presence of God is what's causing them to feel safe. Because if it was just me, you wouldn't be safe. But with God being with me, you can feel safe. We're designed by heaven to be his host so that he can prioritize, praise, and protect the investments in our life. Amen. Those that he treasures in his kingdom. In John 7 and 18, it says it this way. He who speaks of his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the ones who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. When I get up in the morning and I make everything about me, it's all about me. I'm false. But when I get up in the morning and you get up in the morning, we make it all about Daddy. There's nothing false in us. This is so important. Try to honor someone who isn't honoring you. reflect in your mind right now, amen, doing good to and serving someone that's been hurting you. And don't take it personal. Do it as unto the one that made you, that breathed life into you, that called you out of darkness into marvelous light. This is helping some people right now. Don't let the enemy hold you in prison to hold them in contempt. There's something about forgive us, Lord, as we forgive others. There's something about release me, Lord, as I release others. Anybody need some freedom in your life right now? And most, amen, spirits of prison and the idea of anxiety and depression and loneliness and all these things that we put names on that are really spiritual prisons are tied to how we fight with honor. When I begin to honor others, it's because I'm honoring him who honored me 2,000 years ago. He made it about me 2,000 years ago, right? Now it's about him. And if someone is hurting you, someone is beating you up, you're believing a lie. They're not beating you up. They're beating him up. They're not, the idea that you're beating me up, no, you're re-crucifying Christ, not me. This is helping somebody. When I decide I'm going to be Christ to you and you want to slap me, you're not slapping me, you're slapping him. When you make it up in your mind, I'm walking with Jesus and everything Jesus do, I'm going to be right in the mix of it. I'm taking up my cross. I'm going to get over me because he made it about me. I'm making it about him. They're not hitting on you. They're hitting on him. Come on, that's fighting with honor. And I can hear him talk to me all the time. Son, I did it for you. Will you do it for me? And that's like, man, that's unfair, Lord, to say it like that. And he said, no, it's not. I'm going to give you all the power you need to do this. I'm going to give you all the experience you need to do this. Are you ready? Yeah. Okay. And he's waiting on us to activate. I want you to take a moment here. They've queued up a video that's important for me to close here because I want to tell you something here in the next minute and a half. Let's see what this video says to you. Research confirms that this woman that Jesus helped, this rendition of the woman that Jesus helped when she was being accused, that he honored in her most terrible moment, that that's the same woman that broke the alabaster box over his feet and washed his feet with her hair, honoring him. I said that so that y'all would begin to put the pieces together of God's plan. He came to reveal to us who we are. And what he did reflects, amen, the example we're to be as believers. Not without Holy Spirit, fire, and empowerment. The witness that you and I are called to be is not apart from us being filled with the Spirit and the empowerment of that Spirit. Then we can be a witness, one that fights with honor. A couple of weeks ago, I got a letter from someone that visited this house. And they were so impacted by the dynamic of us coming together and our agreement on where God's taking us. But during that, this is months ago that they come and visited, trouble came to their home. And the husband winds up in, he's incarcerated in jail. In jail, he writes a letter to me. Amen. Telling me what God did to him when he and his wife and children were here in this church facility. What God spoke to him through the ministry here and through your being life changers, you impacted them. And he just asked a simple question. Would you come see me because the Lord's impressed me that you have something that I need to hear? When I got there to that jail yesterday, I met with Jesus. Yeah, he got impacted, and yeah, God done some things in his life, but what it did for me blew me away. Jesus puts the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And those on the left said, Lord, when were you in prison and we didn't go see you when you've done it to the least of these? And in our world right now, among Christianity, people that are incarcerated are looked like, well, they deserve to be there. That's where they're going to grow up and get their act together. I'm telling you, there's something, and I've visited many people in prison, but God's been talking to me about honor. And while I'm sitting there, the Lord's saying, you're not doing this to him, you're doing this to me, son. Because I want you to tell my people on Sunday, fight with honor. Can we stand?